This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So when it comes to the issue of the Salah, as I said before, every journey, every plane, every class that you're in has to be treated differently. Whether you're in economy class, whether you're in business class, first class, restrictions, whether you're at the window seat, whether you're in the aisle seat. In this particular plane, it's a Dreamliner, one of the newer planes. It is entirely possible to pray standing up in your seat. At this moment, this is a plane, Saudia Airlines, which are very flexible when it comes to the prayer normally. They even have a prayer section where you can go. They take out some of the middle section of the seats and allow you to pray. Currently, right now, they're not allowing anybody to pray on it. They've closed it at this moment in time. That's not just because of COVID, although in this particular case it is. Sometimes I've been on a flight in which they don't have it open, it hasn't been cleaned or whatever. Now, I again wanted to emphasize the way to pray in the most difficult circumstances, because if you're able to pray in a difficult circumstances, then you'll always have no problem praying in easy ones. So before I go and speak about the prayer, I want you to have a look at the sun, all right? Because it's a great shot of the horizon and the sun and how we're in the last throes of Salat al-Asr. So I want you to have a look. You look at the sun right there now, you can see the horizon, obviously. Again, it's where the sun, where the sky meets it's not the ground here, but as far as I can go, that line that divides the sky or the blueness with what's underneath. And that sun, as you can see, is about 5 or 10 minutes away from touching that horizon. And that disc will then go. Now, as you know, obviously, that it's not really the sun which is disappearing underneath the horizon. Everything's in a state of motion. It's a combination of planet Earth, it's a combination of the sun, it's a combination of them rotating, it's a combination of everything moving. But I'm just speaking in a very simple kind of child's terms, that the sun will feel like it's actually descended below the horizon. When it touches that horizon, when the disc starts to, that is the haram time to pray. That is the impermissible time to pray. That is the end of Salat al-Asr, and it's not the beginning of Maghrib. Maghrib is when that disc has disappeared. So at this point now, again, I want you to look. Look how yellow and orange the sky is. This is not Maghrib started yet. We're still 20 minutes off Maghrib, actually, probably. The time, that's another very important thing. If we were on the ground and not moving, this would be 20 minutes. But now we have to adjust our time because we are speeding at hundreds of miles an hour towards the east, which basically means that we are going to accelerate this whole process. We're going to accelerate the setting of the sun, the disc going down, because we're moving towards the time zone of the east quicker and quicker and quicker. That's very important. Not so much here. I mean, if you hadn't prayed Asr, it'd be very important, because that means you have to pray Asr immediately. Right now, the Asr prayer is valid. But I want you to be reminded of the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which he, in Sahih Muslim, compared the prayer of the one who prays at this time, Salat al-Asr, as the prayer of the munafiq, as the hypocrite. But who is that person? Not the person who prays at this time, but a person who is available and able to pray the Salat al-Asr in his right time, when it starts, but doesn't, and is lazy and just hanging around and waiting, knowing that, oh, no, I've still got time. The prayer is still valid until the sun sets. That attitude is the problem. It is not the attitude of the believer. That's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Tilka salatul munafiq." That is the prayer of the hypocrite. It doesn't mean that the one who prays at that time is a munafiq, but these are the characteristics. These are the kind of things that munafiqs do. So we shouldn't be praying at this time if we have the option. Now, other people might be at work, in a lecture, in an operation. They have no choice. As soon as they come out, they look up and the sun is at this moment. Now, if you're obviously, many people don't bother even looking at the sun anymore. That's the reason why I want to really show you it so much and educate you on this matter. People are looking at their watches or looking at their prayer timetables. And that's a real problem, because when you look at your prayer timetable or your prayer app, it will show you what time Asr starts. And it will show you what time Maghrib starts. It will not show you, if you don't know, the 10 minutes before Maghrib, in which it's haram for you to pray. which is gonna, I'm gonna show you when it kicks in right now. The 15-20 minutes before Maghrib, which is when the sun is still above the horizon and the disk hasn't disappeared, this is a halal time to pray, but it is a very disliked time to pray, especially without reason. But if you have a reason, it was necessary, you were working or whatever the reason is, and then this is the only time that you got, then this is the time you should pray the prayer. There's no doubt about it. A question might be asked, what if the sun is actually going down? What if the disk is disappearing? It's the haram time. Should we not pray Asr if we haven't prayed Asr? No, we should. The change of the angle as the plane is slightly adjusting, we are actually, ironically, it's not ironic, but most of the flights obviously in this direction are going east. But this one is going slightly southeast towards Saudi Arabia. This is Air Saudia direct flight. So you can always have the luxury of praying in the direction of the sea. So that's good. We've slightly adjusted and now you'll have to see the sun is now being left behind us. So if you look at the angle, you can see the sun and you can see how close it's getting. You've got to make an allowance for the clouds. It's not when the sun goes through the clouds. It's when the sun goes through the solid line that you can see as being the farthest point where the sun and the sky are meeting. So what you're looking at right now as it gets left behind is we're very, very close. This is the last possible moments of Salatul Asr, right? Where maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes. Now, if you're on the ground, this is happening a lot slower, of course. But because this is happening in the air and we're flying so fast and we're going east, then this is all being accelerated as we're speaking. You're watching this. As you can hear my voice, this is not being accelerated in terms of time. This is actual footage in real time. This is how quick it happens. As I said, when you're going towards the east and this happens, the only time this is the problem is you haven't prayed Asr. If you've prayed your Asr, then it's just beautiful to watch and observe. The time that is a real problem is when you're flying the other direction, westwards. When you're flying westwards, when you're going back towards the UK or Europe or Canada or the US, the problem that you've got if you're flying in the nighttime is that Fajr can suddenly creep up on you and bam, Fajr is gone. What do I mean by that? You'll see in the other direction now, not this direction, but the other direction, obviously, in the east, that the sky starts to light up. So you know that that Fajr has started, but then suddenly the sun will rise all of a sudden. Why? Because you're speeding so fast in the other direction. So what would normally be, when you would normally have an hour and a half for Fajr, that's what you normally get. When the sun, break of dawn occurs, Fajr occurs, that break of light occurs on the horizon. The sun is way, way below the horizon, but it's close enough to create a break of light. That's Fajr al-Sadiq, the true dawn. If you're on the ground, it takes an hour and a half now for the sun to rise. If you're on a plane, depending upon where and what time and how fast you're going, in 10 minutes, the whole show could be over. Or 15, 20 minutes, the whole show could be over. Which means that as soon as you see the light, you need to pray Fajr immediately. Because 10, 15 minutes later, suddenly the disk will appear and sun rises upon you. And now it's another haram time for you to pray. We've left the sun behind. We're going to try and get another shot of the sun from the back side now. So then you get an idea of how close it is to the horizon and when the haram time starts. Okay, so Salat al-Maghrib has kicked in. The sun has kicked down. You can see now. Have a look at the color that you expect. Now, this is now what happens when the sun is now below the horizon. That's the color. Now Maghrib has kicked in. Vice versa, if you saw the same effect in the morning time, you know that it's very, very close before the sun rises, if it was the other way around, and you'd hurry up and pray Fajr quickly before the sun rises. Now Maghrib's kicked in, and I just want to indicate a couple of points to you. If I was now restricted in a seat and I had nobody sitting here, I had no option, I wasn't able to have a discussion with some people and ask them to help me out, can I swap seats or whatever, and I had to stay here, then it is permissible for me to pray the entire prayer sitting down. And I would literally be in this position, and my prayer would have a standing which is in this position, and then a ruku' which is in this position, and then my sajda, which is in a position lower, each time getting lower and lower and lower. That's the basic principle that you use when you are praying in restricted circumstances. Whether you're praying sitting down or whether you're lying down, whether you're in a hospital bed, each, if you're in a hospital bed like this, your ruku would be like this, your sajda would be like this. You're just moving as much, a bit extra to indicate the extra position, to indicate the further movement across, further movement in line. That's the basic principle when it comes to praying. Another important one before I indicate everything is that there are some hadith around the issue of the bringing up, as was practiced by some people, and the Prophet ﷺ prohibited that. Some scholars consider it to be makruh, others yani impermissible, which is to bring the ground to you. What that means is that they would use a surface like this and prostrate on it. So they would say, right, I'm creating my own ground. And this was done at the time of the Prophet ﷺ by some of the companions, where they would put a pillow on where they're sitting and prostrate on the pillow. And the Prophet ﷺ got rid of the pillow once when that happened, meaning that we don't need to pretend that this is a floor. The floor's there, you're not able to prostrate, there's no space. So you don't need to create an artificial one or a fake one. You will pray in the air a pseudo sajda and a pseudo ruku'ah. Although in ruku'ah, you have the ability obviously to lean on your knees. So you will do that. So that's yani the basic principle. So for example, if you are now in the salah, it would start off with, if you could not stand up, if you didn't have any ability to move, you don't have the front and the back of the plane available for you to stand, then you will pray as per normal in the direction of the Qibla. This plane is going that direction perfectly, so we're absolutely fine. However, all the planes going east is good enough. You do not need to move. And so I want to say, even when you are on the way back, going the opposite direction, it is permissible for you, because of the need, if you are unable to move from your seat, to pray in the direction of the plane going the wrong direction. However, as I will show later, if you can turn around in your seat and pray, then that's better. But you might not have the space to do that. If you don't, then as we know in the principle, the wajib, it always falls, is removed or is excused due to lack of ability to perform it. So, we are in the right direction. We can't move, so we're going to pray sitting down, facing the Qibla, as per normal. Allahu Akbar. And then the prayer will start as per normal. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. If it's a loud prayer, you pray it slightly louder. You can pray it as long as short as you wish. You've got plenty of time. Now it comes for the ruku'ah. You will raise your hands as per normal, because there's no restriction in raising of the hands. And then you will put your hands on your... Now, where does it go? Should it go on your knees or should it go on your thighs? It should go in the in-between period, in-between part here. It doesn't need to go there, because that's what you're going to reserve for tashahud. Because we're creating differences in the movements. So we would put our hands there and then we would say, Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem, Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem, Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem, looking straight down to where we would be theoretically making sajda. Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. And you put your hands to the side. And then Allahu Akbar, my head is now lower. My hands are straight. Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. Allahu Akbar. Now when I come back up to sit in a seated position, which you would normally be doing between the two sajdas, I now lean back to create a more seated position. And my hands go where? On my knees, to indicate the shahud position. So now I'm like, Allahu Akbar, Rabbi Ghafirli, Rabbi Ghafirli. Then I go lower, Allahu Akbar, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. Allahu Akbar. And now I move off the back. I'm upright a bit leaned over, head down. And I will now focus with my hands like this. And I will carry on now praying the next rakah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So now when I do my second rakah, Allahu Akbar, Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem. Yes, three times. Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Hands to the side. Allahu Akbar. Now I go in for sajda. Low as possible, like this. Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. Allahu Akbar. Hands on the knees and back up straight. Allahu Akbar. Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. Allahu Akbar. And now I'm in my tashahud. I'm flat. I'm straight. My knees, my hands are over my knees. My back is up like this to indicate a more seated position, as if I was sitting on the floor. Lift up my finger as per normal. And then, attahiyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. all the way until أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده هو رسوله. I'm praying Salatul Maghrib. Maghrib is always 3, whether traveling or not traveling. So, Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Finish the Fatiha. Allahu Akbar. سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم سمي الله لمن حمدا اللهم ربنا ولك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه. Add to the prayer with extra adhkar or take them away as you've been learning, up to you. Then الله أكبر, lower down, سبحان ربي الأعلى, as per normal, الله أكبر, and then ربي غفر لي ربي غفر لي, الله أكبر, like this, and then الله أكبر. I'm in my final position of seating. 3 rak'ah done now. I'd read everything. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Done. Salatul Maghrib done. The thing that I wanted to emphasize is that you would not bring this table down. And in the sajda part, so if I'm here, Allahu Akbar, and now doing ruku, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa laka al-hamd, Allahu Akbar. This is what people do. They lean on the table. Sometimes they put a pillow there, or they put a number of pillows so they can make sajda on it. I wish I was that flexible, but they want to go down and lean on something. That's something which is against the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ actually didn't want this done, and so therefore we should avoid that. And now, because we are combining, because I don't want to now risk, even though in principle it's allowed to now wait another half an hour or 20 minutes before it to become Isha time. How will I know when it's Isha time? Well, have a look out the window. You can see the darkness. This is the issue of twilight. This is the Ash-Shafaq al-Ahmar, the red twilight that one sees when you're on the ground and you're looking at the horizon and looking in the sky. You see a redness. This redness will disappear, and then it will be followed by a whiteness in the sky. That's called Ash-Shafaq al-Abyad, the white twilight. The Salah, whether it starts at the exiting of the red twilight and the white, or the white twilight, is the matter of difference between the scholars. In the Hanafi school, they want the white twilight to disappear, and that's why their prayer theoretically is a longer one before Isha starts. I say theoretically because within the school there's differences and so on. Whereas the majority are upon the opinion that it's when the red twilight disappears. And when the red twilight disappears, that means that there's no redness left in the sky. There might be still a bit of a glow from the twilight, but it doesn't need to be complete pitch black. Obviously, we know it's a sunnah, as you studied in the prayer times, to pray the Isha prayer as late as possible. So the darker it is, the better. The darker it is, the better. Now, as I said, normally that would take 1.5 to 2 hours if you're on the ground in a normal time. Obviously, in the summertime, we know, especially if you live in northern latitudes, it never becomes dark completely throughout the whole summer. That's it. We'll cover that in the fatwa section about praying during the summertime in northern latitude countries. Leave that for now. But normally, within 1.5 to 2 hours, it becomes pitch black. But on a plane flying east, that's going to happen within half an hour, 40 minutes. So very soon it'll be Isha time anyway. So it's up to you whether you want to wait. It's sunnah, of course, to pray each time, each prayer in its right time. It's not sunnah per se to always combine. You should only combine when there's a need. Is there a need now? Yeah, I'm really tired. I don't want to make wudu later on. I don't want to hold it. I want to get some sleep. I'm tired. So I'm going to pray my Isha with my Maghrib. So I'm going to pray Isha now. Then I'm going to knock out and go to sleep. This is a legitimate reason. I'm not going to pray my witr. I'm going to be in the airport, and I'm there for 4 hours. I'm going to make wudu. I'm going to be on the ground. I'm going to pray witr nice and relaxed and enjoy it. Might even throw a few cheeky tahajjud in there. If I go to sleep, it'll be tahajjud. If I don't go to sleep, it'll just be qiyamul layl. Why not? In Safar, you don't pray the regular sunnah prayers, but you are allowed to pray extra prayers. You are allowed to pray nafil prayers. That's something which is allowed. Alright, now then we'll pray the Isha combined. I would make the Iqamah again. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, ya Rabbala. Qad qamat islah, qad qamat islah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. And then I would start Allahu Akbar and pray 2 rak'ah of Isha prayer. Now, I'm going to show you what would happen if I was sitting in that seat. So I want to show you this variation here, because this is a Dreamliner and it's shaped very differently, and it's trying to encourage airy spaces and so on. And I've been on enough planes to let you know that this is not the norm. But in this seat, you can actually stand up. Now, because you can stand up, if you are able to pray standing, you must pray standing. It is obligatory to pray standing. Don't really come to me with that, oh, I'm too worried or scared. If you are and you're having a heart attack, palpitations, because you're just, you know, you're sitting next to non-Muslims. I mean, it's nice and easy being on a Saudi Air flight where everyone's Muslim, or most people are. So I agree with you. We shouldn't take the example of this flight. Let's imagine that it's full of non-Muslims and you're really a shy person and you're really worried. I get it. Okay? You should still have the confidence after explaining to them that you're about to pray. To pray, as I said to you before, this is the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who are they and who are you? We're all servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The difference is that you recognize it, that's all. And they don't. So it's not about anything other than you doing what you need to do. So you explain to them and then you stand and pray. I just want to say right here now, if you are absolutely terrified, or this is happening after some kind of Islamophobic incident or a terror attack, and this situation is on, you know, on Paris, on top, and you really can't concentrate while you're standing and praying, and you're so terrified, then it's allowed for you to pray sitting down, because extreme clinical states of fear or depression during the prayer is not something that you're obligated to go through, especially if it is removed if you sit down. So I want you to be aware of that. Okay? So now we're here, I can. So I can't still make ruku properly, and I can't make sajda properly, but at least I can stand. So where I'm standing, when I can stand, I will stand. And then in the other parts, I will do as much of a ruku as possible. And then for the sajda, I will sit down and do the pseudo one. So this is what I would do Isha. If I'm praying now my Isha, because I just did my Maghrib, obviously I haven't prayed a proper Maghrib, I can't be praying and speaking to you at the same time. I will now show you how I would pray Isha in this scene. I would stand. This is my area. I would use my calves against the seat to support me. And I would be going, after giving the Iqamah, in the right direction. Allahu Akbar. And I'm now praying absolutely normal. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. All the way until Allahu Akbar. I raise my hands, Allahu Akbar, and I will now go for ruku'. If there was a person here, there's no person here at the moment, their head would block me doing that. And so I can now sit back here and go, Allahu Akbar, like this. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. I've now done my ruku'. Now I stand back up again. Sami Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. That's very important, I stand back up again. The reason I stand back up again is because I'm able to stand back up. I don't carry on there. I'm able to stand. So I would, the Sami Allahu liman hamida has to be done, if you're in a normal circumstance, standing. And then to go back into sajda has to come back down from standing. So I stand back up. Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban barakan fi. Allahu Akbar. And now I do my sajda. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Sorry, I beg your pardon. I now come for my... So I've now sat down to my sajda. Allahu Akbar. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Allahu Akbar. I'm in my seated position. My hands go back onto my knees, like I said before, sitting back like this. Rabbi al-Ghfirli, Rabbi al-Ghfirli. Allahu Akbar. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. And now to my second raka'ah. Allahu Akbar. And then it is like this. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Do the Fatiha. Do your surah. And now again, this is not the preferred one because you're in another person's space and it's not even, you know, it's much over muchness. So Allahu Akbar. I will sit back down again. And I will go now. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. For being in ruku'. And then, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamd. And then, I will sit back down again and go into sajda. Up from sajda, into sajda again. Up from sajda, nice and back. Attahiyatu lillah. Finish the prayer. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. These two variations were of one person who can't move at all from their place, which will happen a lot of the time, and that's okay. And the second variation was someone who could do quite a bit, was able to stand. And okay, might not stand perfectly, leaning a bit, but that's okay. That's okay. I was able to bring the majority of it. The Prophet ﷺ told us to do whatever you can do, as much as you can do. The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says in the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you possibly can. And so you do as much as you can in that scenario, in that situation, which is what I did. So I hope that made sense. The third scenario, which we can't demonstrate in this particular plane, is to be praying fully. Ruku', sujood, everything. And you would do that in one of the other areas of the plane, normally at the front. At the moment, you're not allowing that, but that's something that you can do quite easily in normal times if you are allowed. Or you can have a discussion and they might allow you. Whether you pray directly on the floor or put something down, all of that is completely fine. One thing you got to make sure though is that you shouldn't do it outside an emergency exit. This is enough reason for me to allow you to pray sitting down, because you shouldn't be putting other people at danger. And that is, even if there are other people who are not using it, that's the whole point. Emergency exit is meant to be clear and not being used. So what are you doing then? So I don't like that. I also don't like the idea of praying in the walkways, because you're putting people at inconvenience, so you shouldn't do that. So if there is no other choice but to pray outside emergency exit or in the pathways, then you should pray sitting in the chair, or avoid it entirely and plan your trip so that you end up praying not on a plane hardly ever, but when you get to your destination, or combining before you get on the plane in the first place. So I hope this has covered all of the theory on all the issues. And then obviously, if you have individual questions about specific scenarios, because there are so many things that we can't cover in this, but can in the Q&A sessions, such as what happens if you're crossing a time zone in which you've actually lost the day, especially if you're going, a west Pacific kind of angle, and so on. Kind of crazy situations. I hope that is clear at all levels. Just want you guys to have a look. I just want you to see the light. You see the redness still there, and then the whiteness is above it. That redness will disappear soon. That will be the official start of Isha according to the majority. But according to the Hanafis, or the Hanafi school official, or rather, I should say Abu Hanifa himself, because the Hanafi school itself has differences as well. But according to Abu Hanifa, the whiteness needs to disappear as well. According to the vast majority, that's going to be way, way too late for Salatul Isha to be a minimum start time. It's going to be sufficient for the redness to disappear, and then we're in. But you can see that another 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it will actually be Isha, which is crazy, because normally that would take an hour and a half if you're on the ground. You'll see in the next shot, you'll see even less light available and even more closer to Isha in the next shot. So although you're seeing this in, obviously, immediately after the previous clip, it's been about 5 minutes, that's how much light has gone. Now, obviously, you've got to understand that we're adjusting what's known as the ISO and all the rest of it, all that technical stuff on a camera to give you the best representation. But you got to know that every time that you see the sky in a camera, you're seeing something far, far brighter than what it actually is. So it's actually very unrealistic. I'm looking out the window right now. It is really dark. Okay. But you're looking out on the camera, it's making the white part look quite kind of light. But to the naked eye, it's actually very diffuse. The red is also looking very bright in your screen as well, especially if you're on a 4K or something crazy. And this is obviously high quality recording class. So you're going to probably see something which is not like what I'm looking at, because I'm looking at that color and it's really, really dark. So that's something to be aware of as well. If this was on if you were on the ground, I would say that in about 15 minutes, you would be into Isha. Being on this plane, because we're moving so fast towards east, and we're getting so far away from actual, the normal time, then I can tell you that in about five, maybe eight, maybe 10 minutes, you'd be proper red twilight gone. And in fact, maybe we'll come back and show you another version of that if we can. The plane is adjusting itself left and right, and so it might be difficult to show, but soon the redness will have disappeared, and I want to show you what that looks like. All right, have a look at this, guys. All right, this is a lot more like what I'm seeing right now. We are able to increase the ISO of this camera and make it look like what it's not like. All right, so if we was to have a look at this now, we're going to increase, and we can make it look earlier than what it actually is. Look at that. Can you see that? We can do that. Keep going as an example to show. Yeah, that is entirely what we're not seeing. Completely unacceptable. You see that? But this is what it really is like now. I'll show you now. If we keep going, I'll tell you what we're seeing. Bit less than that. That is what we're seeing right now. That's what we are seeing right now. We are on the cusp of Isha. As I said before, this would normally take another 20 minutes, 25 minutes if we were on the ground. This happened within 5 minutes, or about 3 minutes actually. So now Isha is virtually kicked in. With my eye, Isha is kicked in. Absolutely. And within about 5 or 10 minutes, even the white twilight will have completely disappeared.
And then that will be even Isha according to all Imams and scholars.